More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Actually, this is the first time for, must be at least 10 years, that I'm here in the UK and not in Israel at this time. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a wonderful event. My longing is for you all to go there. How many have been? Yeah, fair number, but a lot more. It's amazing when the Bible comes alive. It's amazing when you go to places which are still the same place as recorded in the Bible. And I was privileged 3 or 4 years ago. It wasn't at the Feast of Tabernacles time. It was early at the time what we call Pentecost, Shavuot as the Jewish feast is. And it was early one Sunday morning. And I was actually in the very place where the upper room was. And I'd just gone a walk around the old city, as it's called, and it just sort of just hit me where I was and what day it was. And I know that we're not too particularly remember days or seasons, but I couldn't help but think, Lord, I'd love another Pentecost now. Because there, in that situation, were those believers, those followers who'd given all to follow Jesus. And it just seemed that it had all gone. In one sense, their faith hadn't gone, but everything had gone. They'd seemed to have just lost everything. And yet that was the point, and that's the place where God just wanted them to be. Because when there's nothing else, when there's no one else, there's God. God will not leave us. God will not forsake us. God is with us. It's interesting. Somebody gave me a gift. I've only just looked at it. It's a nice promise for some of the people who've come out today. Can you read that? Your future looks bright. It shines brighter and brighter until the fullness of day. We've got a very bright future. In fact, we've got a glorious future. It says that we're changed, we're transformed, we're taken from glory to glory. When God starts to move upon you, you're constantly being changed. He is never changed because there's nothing more that he can change into. But he changes us. And so he begins a work in you. And then he wants another work and another work. Until it's just all the glory of God. Until it's all just the power and the presence of God. Sometimes the spiritual world, those who follow God, they're called the shining ones who serve him. What are they shining with? With the radiancy. Moses went up the mountain. The people had to stay down. Moses had to have a veil on his face because the glory of God, that light of God, that inextinguishable flame that wants to burn and burn. Do you think that it's going to burn out? Do you think that atheism is going to win at the end of the day? I'm glad, because you wouldn't be here if you thought that. But also, as we've heard, and there's other testimonies that we're going to get, if God is for us, it is not the end of the story. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. And today you might be like those first disciples. And you might be, in all the preachings that I've heard, we don't get much further than Acts chapter 1, do we? We're meant to be studying the whole book of Acts. But can you just put up Acts chapter 1, Joel? NASB, please. We don't need Mickey Mouse versions. Right, let's go to verse 1. Here it is. The first account I composed, Theophilus. Let's just stay there a moment. Now, Theophilus, this is a Greek name. And it's broken into two parts. Theo, God, and Philo, lover. Love. God's lover. Lover of God. So people say, was this an actual name, or was it just a general description for lovers of God? It doesn't really matter in one sense, but what we do know is that it was written, as it says here, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So in other words, historical record. It's all put down, or a lot of it anyway, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So, Jesus was on this earth. He'd been performed miracles. He was crucified. He was dead. He was risen. But now he's going to ascend into heaven. But we know this story. The disciples didn't. They were quite pleased that Jesus was appearing to just a few at this time, not to everyone. But their hearts were encouraged. But where does it have to go from here? Now, I want you to keep this in mind, and we'll come back to Joel, if you don't mind. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Because it says the first account, and as has been mentioned by a number of the speakers, the first account is the Gospel of Luke. That's part one. The Acts of the Apostles is part two. So this is Luke himself writing. He says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us. Now notice that. See, when people say, oh, the Bible's just words of men. Well, there were many people, tells us quite clearly here, who wanted to write down about the life of Jesus, and some did. But they were not selected. They were not destined to be the ones to leave the permanent record. But this man, Luke, was. And it says, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Notice the name that they call Jesus, the Messiah, the Word, another of his titles, the Logos. And word is important. They say sticks and stones can break your bones, but names can never hurt you. That's not true. Actually, sticks and stones can be less hurtful than words that are spoken over people. And here now, we've got the word, the word. It's not just any word. He's not just one word amongst a few people. No, he is the word. And so we continue. Luke still writing. It seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent. And here he is again, Theophilus, lover of God. Okay? Notice verse 3, though. Stay with that a moment. It seemed the right thing, fitting for me, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning. Now, this is important because this man, Luke, had a profession. And what was that profession? He was a doctor. It tells us in, I think it's, is it Colossians 4:14? Don't show it up now in case it's wrong. No, it isn't. But he's spoken of by Paul, and he says, my beloved physician. Now, here's this physician, Luke. He's investigated it well, and we've heard a fair bit today about doctors and hospitals and so on. And if the doctor was haphazard or wasn't listening to you or whatever, you'd be rather put out. But here, this doctor, he puts his reputation on the line. I'd love to have heard his testimony. I'd love to know how he got to this place as a believer. But anyway, here he is, and now he investigates everything. Now, if it's a doctor, and in spite of what they say, mankind is making evolutionists. You know, this is one of the strangest things. A lot of things I can't get my head around. But evolutionists say mankind is getting better. Are they really? Okay. I don't see anything getting better. In fact, I see a downward spiral. And if we think that intelligence has only just come about in the Western world alone in the last couple of centuries, then people have never, ever studied any ancient history or philosophy or anything. Things aren't getting better. And actually, the Bible says they're going to get worse. Oh, dear. But not for believers. We've got good news. We've got an eternal destiny. We've got amazing things that are going to happen. And somehow or other, this Dr. Luke, he was mesmerized by the stories of Jesus. So he went to people who were there right at the beginning, the people who could give him eyewitness account. And he wrote down things, and it was checked, and it was validated. And he made such a good account that he was encouraged to write part two. Now, you know, I've got a little bit of a feeling inside of me that there are people who have got their part one, but they've actually not got into their part two. That they've got a lot of knowledge, and they've heard testimonies, and they've witnessed, and they've seen for themselves. But part two is all about the working out, the telling, the proclaiming. Anyway, in verse 4 here, it says, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you've been taught. Let's see the next verse, Joel, please. No, we'll leave that now. Go back to Acts chapter 1, please. So this physician written this account to this person called Theophilus, this lover of God. This man was a searcher. He was a bit like Nicodemus. He knew there was something in it. And I find over the years, you know, that there are people who think there are, well, they know that there's something in it. We all get disappointed. We get disappointed with ourselves. We get disappointed with other people. We get disappointed with the church. We get disappointed with churches and so on. But you know, he who believes on Jesus will not be disappointed. Because the disappointment gives way to a great realization that this man, this Savior, this God who came to this earth, who died, who was buried, and rose again. He rose again for a very important purpose. Now, if he was still alive, everyone would be saying, well, you better get over to Israel, because that's where it's all happening. But Jesus had to go into heaven so that the Holy Spirit could fill all believers, all Theophiluses. In verse 3 of Acts chapter 1, it says, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, after his death, by many convincing proofs. He appeared to them. He was not just a ghost. It says he appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke to them things concerning the kingdom of God. And yet, this group were still petrified. They were still afraid. No wonder. One of the lowest times of my life, not just recently, but I remember I was just crying out to God, and I just looked up, and a little bit like testimony we'd heard before, there was a picture in the house with a scripture verse on it. And you know what it said? Oh, ye of little faith. And immediately, I knew. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't understand. I haven't got the answers. I want the answers. I haven't got them. But, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Do you believe that faith can increase? Do you believe that you can receive power from on high? Do you believe that you can stir up the gift of God within you? Hallelujah. Have you stirred up the gift of God within you? See, we ask ourselves, what do you need power for? Now, some people would think they need power to show that they're powerful. Well, actually, it's the exact opposite. Because the more powerful you are, the less God can come through. And that's why you see some things and you think, this is just a show. This is just words that are empty. But when you see a real move of the Spirit of God, you are changed irrevocably, permanently. The flame that was going to be extinguished is actually inextinguishable. And in verse 4 it says, he gathered them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but just to wait for what the Father had promised, which you've heard of me. Let's read on. What was it that they'd heard? Verse 5. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's one of the few Greek words which is actually put into the English language, baptized, because it means immersed. There's no getting away from it. But, of course, the state church of the day, it couldn't cope with saying you had to be immersed, because they sprinkled and made a little sign of the cross and so on, and it was to every child, not for believers. But here it says, John immersed with water, but you will be immersed with what? Holy Spirit. Glory to God. This is really getting into God. Or more to the point, God really getting into you. Not many days from now. So when they had come together, verse 6, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And I want to tell you, this is one of the key verses when people say, why do you go on about Israel? It's because it's linked in with the destiny of the church. It's linked in with the destiny of the return from heaven of Jesus Christ. When Israel is restored, Israel was scattered for 2,000 years. Critics and people have debated with this. Oh, it's just a political chance that this nation exists today. A political chance. What other nation hasn't existed as a nation for thousands, millennia? And yet are brought together in the grace of God now. This is about God. This is not about a political nation. This is not about the Knesset, which is the Jewish government. This is about God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is coming. We should be praying, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. And you know, God's kingdom is breaking out. God's kingdom is breaking out all over this world, in our nation. I must say this, as days get darker, actually to me it's wow. This means that the greater light and the greater glory and the greater power are coming. When people think that they've annihilated communism in Russia, they said, we've annihilated Christianity. I've got friends, they tell me great stories who live and work in Russia about what God is doing. I've spoken a number of times here about the great work that God is doing in China. Incredible numbers, more believers in China than people in our nation. That is a truth, that's a fact. That's an indisputable fact. And in 1948, the communists in China, they said, there's no foreign missionaries going to be allowed to stay here. We don't want this Western religion. It's gone. Actually, it wasn't a Western religion. That's another story. They booted all missionaries out. Was that the end of the story? No. When they thought it was dead in Russia, when they thought it was dead in China, actually, it was just the beginning. Hallelujah. And what does God look for? He looks for broken people. He looks for people who are despised and rejected and ridiculed and mocked. And if you're a true Christian today, if you've not been insulted or mocked for your faith, then I would suggest that there is something wrong with the way that you're presenting your Christianity. You can't help it. You can't help it. Does that mean that we are disrespectful in return? Far from it. I think it's wonderful when you see a man that we prayed for over, must be about 30 years. And just a few years ago, he just came to the Lord. Hallelujah. He'd given his poor wife such a hard time. But if God be for us, who can be against us? So is it the time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know. 2,000 years ago, it wasn't for them to know. It wasn't the case for 2,000 years. But now, it's changed. Israel is back again. But that's not what I'm talking about. Let's go on to the next verse, please. But you, that's you, not just them. This is now, you shall receive dunamis. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You need power in your home. You need power in your body. You need power inside of you. It's not earthly power. It's not man's power. It's not even willpower. It's the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, wanting to fill you and fill you and immerse you and for you to be immersed in God. Hallelujah. You're almost getting excited. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on. A cloud received him out of their sight. So there, see, they're just looking. And when they think, well, this is great, we're going to get this power, and Jesus is with us, and suddenly Jesus is taken away. And that's a little bit like us, isn't it? You have a great meeting, you have a great upliftment in your spirit, and suddenly it seems like Jesus has been taken away. But as we've heard, he hasn't gone. Where's he going to go to? The whole earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. If I go to the lowest parts of the earth, thou art there. God is with us. God is with us now. And you can receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The cloud received them. Just next few verses, please, Joel. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, oh, what were they thinking? They must have been, what on earth is going on? Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. Doesn't say two angels, but we know that they were. And it says, men of Galilee. Galilee was in the northern part of Israel, still is, Sea of Galilee. And it's like the despised part, a bit like us up north and them down in London. And it says, the men of Galilee, these are the chosen ones. This Jesus, this same Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you've watched him go into heaven. Hallelujah. This same Jesus, not another Jesus. Not another person. It's not going to be a Mohammed coming out of heaven. I mean this because that's what they teach. It's Jesus Christ who lived and walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, who's coming back out of heaven. And there are many signs of his coming. In fact, Rob is... And I've been talking, and I'll be doing a series on the prophetic scriptures a bit later on, and we get a time fixed. Because I think it's just vital that we shouldn't be ignorant of these amazing things and the speed of our developments. Next verses, please. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that is called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And they entered into the city, and they went to the upper room. We're going to leave it there, but there they were in this upper room trying to work it all out. And suddenly from heaven, there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire filled this place. Don't you want more of the fire and the power of God? Don't you want his holy presence? We're standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Just going to bring this to a close. I want you to deeply meditate. Somebody prayed in the prayer meeting before. It would be lovely to see you all at. You know, all are welcome, 10 o'clock. But we just want to see the presence of God making us not just people who hear, but people who speak. And it's only as you step out onto that water, as we heard, that you walk. If you don't take a step of faith, you'll never move in faith.